Hello, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. This coming week, I've got a lecture I'm giving on visual literacy as a part of a visual literacy and photographic education program at the Photographic Center Northwest up here in Seattle. And I'm pretty excited because the curriculum's designed around the work of Minor White and Walter Chappell, who are two photographers who wrote a lot about the nature of visual literacy, learning how to speak and articulate work, how to talk about images and photographs. And we've had a couple of lectures on that. We have a couple more in the series, and I've got kind of the middle lecture, and I'm pretty excited about it. But as I've been preparing for that lecture and having some conversations with some other photographers, it got me thinking about a couple of things around the nature of critique and speaking and articulating about work. I kind of wanted to dive into those topics today. There's a couple of key areas that I think have come up over and over and over again for me, and I just wanted to touch on those specific points. The first one is the type of critique. And one of the things I see a lot, particularly in person and online, so it's one of those things that kind of crosses two different types of critique genre and feedback locations. But one of the things I hear on a pretty regular basis is, can I have a brutal critique? Can I have an honest critique? Can I have a subjective critique? There's always some kind of qualifier in front of the critique. And the one that always interests me is the brutal or the brutally honest critique. Because one of the things that brutal does, if you go back to the source origination of that world, that implies that there's going to be a brutality to it. There's going to be something behind that critique that is expected to create a sense of tension, to create a beating down of the work. And I think what people are trying to say is they don't want the fluff that they're used to getting to on social media. They just don't want somebody to say they like it and thumbs up. So they put that qualifier of brutality in front of the critique. And I don't think that's at all what they're asking for. I think what they're asking for is somebody to actually provide some level of insight into the work that could actually improve their work. The issue with asking for a brutal critique, if particularly you're asking that from somebody who doesn't understand the context of what you're asking for, that may lead them to provide you an unnecessarily brutal critique that is no more valuable than a thumbs up like that you might get on social media that is also not telling you anything relevant. What you need to do is find a level and a group of people who can provide a critique in such a way that you get useful information. And I think the other one is if you're in a community of people where you have asked for a critique and you've asked for a critique to help you improve the image, catalog it, purpose it, portfolio it, whatever you're working on, one of the things that's critical there is for you to educate people back when the feedback is not helpful. That's one of the things that we do in classes. That's one of the things we do when we're teaching visual literacy is we teach people how to respond when the feedback is not helpful and not appropriate. So if somebody is giving you feedback and you're saying, this isn't helpful, this isn't useful, you can't come back with a brutal response and be like, you're an idiot, you're not helpful. But if you come back and say, thanks for the information, but what I was really looking for is information more along these lines, I was looking for information that might help me in this way, you'll start to get the kind of feedback you're looking for. You might also find that by building that dialogue, you get a question and answer going back and forth, which may also provide some insight that you hadn't had before. So that framing the contextualization of the critique, I think, is something that's important. Another one is to the intention of the photographer. Minor and Chappell both talk about this. This is one of the things I talk about in my class a lot. This is one of the things I've talked about in a number of different other lectures I've given about understanding the intention of the photographer, understanding your own intention when you go out and work. But one of the interesting things about the nature of critique is we have to oftentimes critique without that knowledge. So one of the things I challenge my students when I'm working with them and learning critique is, can we figure out the intention of the photographer if they're not in the room? Because a lot of the photographs we're ever going to see and critique in our life and look at and have to evaluate and experience, we will never have the pleasure of speaking with the photographer to understand their intention. However, I do believe you can get to an intention. You can probably get in the ballpark of the photographer's intention even without them necessarily in the room. Now, will you necessarily get the exact motivation and intention? Maybe not. But you'll start to get the understanding of something about the artist that can give you an indication of what they might be trying to say with the work. So if you want to be truly effective at understanding the value of a critique, you have to be able to judge the photographs as if you didn't have the photographer as a reference, if you didn't have the artist as a reference, you didn't have an artist statement as the reference. That's going to allow you to access a different part of your brain that requires you to have a different thinking about how to actually judge and value the photograph. That can be hugely insightful for you as the critiquer and for the people you're sharing the critique with. if you think about having the artist present, if you say, when I look at the photograph, given all the geometry, forms, shapes, functions, subject, how they're all put together, this is how I see and experience the photograph. This is how I think the photographer was seen and experienced in the photograph. And this was the, I think, the intention behind one of the, a possible intention behind the story of the photograph. If the photographer's like, wait a second, I had the exact opposite intention, and then 30 other people give them the same story, there might be some disconnect between how the photographer is creating the work and how the work's actually being created that needs to be filled. There's a gap analysis that can happen there. Similarly, when you look back at other work that you will never get the opportunity to see the photographer, that's going to allow you to put it in the context of how to judge that work against the broader sense of photography for the photographer who does that same kind of work. If you're looking at documentary photography or fashion photography or commercial photography, understanding some of the purposes and rationale behind the photographs that you've decided to categorize and how do they weigh against other photographers within the same genre of photography, how do those weigh, could be an insightful moment for you in terms of understanding motivations and intentions behind the photographs. I do think you do yourself a disservice if you get spun up in a position where you think about how does my own critique set, how does my own process prevent me from reading and experiencing the photographs? And being hung up on trying to figure out if you need the photographer's intent is an insightful point, I think, that can make a difference. Because that's the last piece I wanted to talk about today, was one of the things, and this is kind of the crux of the lecture I'm giving on Thursday, is when you look at what Miner and Walter were talking about in their curriculum that was basically laid out for how we have this notion of visual literacy around photographs. One of the things they talk about is experiencing a photograph and reading a photograph. And those are two different things. And for most people, it's about experiencing the photograph because that's a personal experience of the photograph. It's a personal conversation between the viewer and the artwork, or potentially the viewer and the photographer. Reading a photograph requires a higher level skill set because they're now taking the photograph and weighting that against exterior influences of other photographs and other photography and other forms of art. And there becomes an awareness of your control over how you're experiencing the photograph, how you're seeing the photograph, and how you're ultimately evaluating the photograph that comes with a different eye than reading. You have to experience the photograph first and then read the photograph. And so it's a really interesting component because one of the things that happens to us a lot of times is we don't think about how to experience the photograph. We end up in this position of just seeing a photograph, experiencing something, reacting, and then deciding the ultimate value of the photograph. And one of the things that we talk about in visual literacy and in the notion of understanding the photograph is we try to break down the process by which we understand the photograph. So one, that it's a repeatable process. So we have a consistency in how we're seeing and experiencing the photograph. That's critical to our understanding. Second, we are able to identify what the photograph's purpose is. So this is what kind of got me in that intention conversation earlier. By purpose of the photograph, this would be the genre of photography that the photograph belongs to. Is it commercial-based? Is it pictorial-based? Is it documentary? Is it photojournalism? Those two kind of fit together. Is it a fine art piece, which might lend towards pictorialism in the history of photography? Is it informational? Is it a scientific photograph? Is it an X-ray, which is a type of photograph? What is that genre that it fits into? And then are we appropriately asking the right questions to fully engage and experience with a photograph based on the genre that it sits in? So for example, if we're looking at documentary photography, if we're looking at things that are experienced with the document, one of the things that happens there is we start to have to figure out a lot about the background of the photograph. Is the background considered a part of the photograph, or was it incidental to the photograph? Because one of the things that happens with photojournalism is the event may be unfolding and you can't stop certain events and think about the positioning and the framing. You may not have the opportunity to sit and wait like a Henri Cartier-Bresson, waiting for the decisive moment to occur in the perfect alignment of form and structure. So we have to decide, was the background critical? We'd have to decide, is this seem like an intentional photograph, or was this accidental? Was this something that was stumbled across and happened within milliseconds, or was this something that the scene felt like it was unfolding? Does everything in the frame relate to the story or not? is the photograph of a person or object, and what is our understanding of that person and object in the photograph? If there's two subjects, how do they relate? Does it matter if they relate? Is the relationship between them primary or secondary to the photograph? If it's of an event, do you know what the event is? Does your own understanding of the event and your own understanding of the history of that potential event influence your thinking about the photograph? Is it of a place? Is it of a certain time? All of those little elements start to pull together the picture of what that documentary photograph is about. As you examine those various pieces, we start to get the experience of the photograph. We start to figure out what the photograph is about. How does it actually work? If we think about, say, a pictorial photograph or a fine art photograph, you know, we think about our first impression of the photograph, and the first impression is not, ooh, I like it or I don't like it. That first impression is, what is this, the sense of the image? What is the sense of the photograph really about? We then break down and we think about structure and geometry, tones, motions, perspective, the technique. Was it black and white? Was it color? How does that all aid our understanding? We then think about the concepts that exist within the image, and conceptual things in photography are things like light, shape, how three-dimensional shape is represented in the two-dimensional form, how full or partial are objects within the frame, are things cut off in a certain way, are they positioned in a certain way. So the concepts of how the image is created becomes critical. The design sense, how well did the photographer assemble all of those elements to create the story, sensation, feeling, and intention, and meaning, and structure, and all those things of the photograph that have us have that initial impression. Then what is the subject becomes an important aspect of the photograph. Most early on critiquers think about subject before they think about structure, concepts, and the sense of those two things put together. If you start to focus on how the photograph is assembled, how the photograph is created in terms of design elements, in terms of positioning elements, in terms of framing elements, you'll find that your understanding of the subject may significantly shift, may be significantly different because you have an awareness around that. It becomes, oh, having thought about how all of the elements of the photograph fit together, what I thought initially was the subject is in fact not the subject. It's actually this. What I thought was something that was sad and depressing actually is a tender moment because I've now understood how all the pieces fit together. And then there's a bunch of things within the pictorial fine art world about how do objects relate to one another? How does photographs relate to one another? How do photographs relate to memory? Does it invoke a certain sensation? Does it invoke a certain thought? Does it remind you of something else? What other associations do you have? So there's a number of other, like I said, different ways we can do this. But as you start to see, as you think about experiencing the photograph, it's not just, oh, I have that visceral reaction if I like a photograph or not. There's an underlying structure and process to that that becomes critical about how we understand images. For things like commercial work, if you think about understanding a commercial work, you know, it's got to have room for text. They're selling ads with that. They're selling a certain look to that. They're selling something. That's going to have a shift in how we would want to think about approaching the experience of that photograph. So all of those things start to come together, and they fundamentally can affect the critique. Because if you can think about initially, as you're starting to work on critique, what is this image's bucket that it lives in? And then what is the right set of questions to ask as I experience the photograph? You can then write to the experience of the photograph and then ultimately, hopefully, add in the element of reading the photograph and how does this image fit in the broader context of photography? How does it fit in the broader context of the artist body of work that they've created over a number of years? Because it's entirely possible that some photographers spend a lifetime building nothing but beautiful work. And as long as the work is amazing and beautiful and works for them and it's structured that way, that's great. But at the same time, that artist who's creating beautiful work, if they're getting critiqued over and over again that their work isn't being pushed forward, it's not moving out, it's not in the context, it's repetitive of other people. One of the things they're running into there is their own understanding of their work, and then they're hitting somebody who actually is potentially reading the photographs. And what we want is a knee-jerk reaction or an experiential reaction. And when we get a critique from somebody who's reading the work, it can be a challenge because they're providing us information that we haven't yet processed on our own about how valuable is our work in the broader context. Most critiquers at a high level who are working in museums, who are working in galleries, who are working in publishing, are thinking at that level of reading photographs, how do they understand into the broader context? So I think one of the things that can be really helpful with this is if you think about how you create work, if you think about how you ask for critique, when you create work, I think one of the things that's important here is you think about how you're giving a critique and how you're getting your critiques, understanding the specific framing around the adjectives you use, how you think about approaching intention as a tool or a club in your own experience of critiquing, and then really getting behind that classification would be, I think, something helpful for you. One of the ways, if you're going to practice this, if you want to try to get kind of a homework assignment off of this, is you can find Minor Walter's articles. You can find in the Aperture collection. There's about 8 to 10 articles on this specific method. This particular topic comes out of experiencing photographs. If there's something you wanted to do, you could go to find that article in the old Aperture volume, or maybe you could find a copy of it online. The other thing you could do is to sit down and start to think about your work in the different buckets that it might live in. Is work classified one way or is it classified another? And if you start to realize maybe one of the reasons you're struggling in the understanding of your own work is you're creating different, not just different bodies of work, but different types of work. And there are questions that need to be asked to deepen your understanding of your own work need to be shifted based on the type of work you're creating. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are sold. I guess they're given away for free. So anywhere they're given away for free. Also, if you're in Seattle this week, I think there's a couple seats left for that lecture on Thursday night at the Photographic Center Northwest. I would love to see you there. We'll be talking, like I said, pretty in-depth for this for a couple hours. And have a great week, and I'll see you next time.